476. Two, seven, six. Guide us, O thou gracious Savior, pilgrims through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed us now and evermore. While we tread this veil of sorrows, may we in thy love abide. Keep us, ever gracious Savior, leaving closely to thy side, still relying on the Father's changeless love. 276. Guide us, O thou gracious Savior, pilgrim through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy given a wonderful opportunity. What would have been the greatest blessing on earth in his day and time, and a name and a blessing hereafter. But this young man I'm about to speak of chose to follow his own reason and what he devised out of his own head. The other young man that I'm going to tell you about, or read from the Word about, was a young man of whom we read that he wholly followed the Lord. I'm sure everyone here that's acquainted with the Word has already decided who the second person surely is. Or is Caleb the son of Jephunneh? But now you may be questioning in your mind, who is the first young man that we're about to speak of? Well, if you'll turn with me to the first book of Kings, you'll soon find out. The first book of Kings and the 11th chapter. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now the time that I'm calling your attention to was a very sad time in the history of God's people, the children of Israel. For he had set up David and then Solomon his son as king over his earthly people and given King Solomon the greatest wisdom that any man ever possessed. And yet he forsook the God from whom he received his wisdom and actually bowed down to idols. Well, there's a verse that tells us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Solomon, although in the highest position, the wisest man, couldn't escape that government of God, for he had to reap the awful consequence of his failure. Well, now the person I have in mind is a man named Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And if you'll read in the 26th verse, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zerida, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause, and so on. When we look at the 28th verse. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Well, it's very encouraging to read of a young man who is a mighty man of valor and an industrious young man. Well, we admire those qualities. Well, for us to be diligent, for there's a verse in Proverbs that tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God doesn't encourage laziness. If you're a student, well, do your best to get on and make your grades. You've got a position where you can work and please the Lord. Put in your best efforts to serve your company or your employee. Well, that was the kind of a young man that Jeroboam was. And Solomon, who had a keen discernment, He singled this young man out as a very useful young man, and he set him up in a very honorable position. So everything starts out very fair and bright. And so if you young people are making the best of your opportunities, well, things look very bright and promising for you. But let's get the whole story. So we read in the 29th verse, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. And they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take these 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee, but he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Well, in the 36th verse, the 37th verse, and I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desires, and shalt be king over Israel. Well, that was no small promotion to be taken from just the ordinary things of life and be advanced to be the king over Israel. And when you think that Israel was God's earthly people, there could not be a more honored place here on earth at that time. Then we read the 38th verse, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, keep my statutes and my commandment, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee, and I will for this, I will afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Well, you see, there were certain conditions. It says, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee. Now, as we said, that you, dear young people, are starting out with life before you, and some, I'm sure, have some of the qualities that we see in Jeroboam are industrious and are making the best of your opportunities. But let's heed this little word, if. Now, if you are to receive the blessing of the Lord, there are conditions. Thank God there are no conditions as to your salvation. If you have really, from your heart, accepted Christ as your Savior, you're saved and can never perish. But as to your walk and your happiness down here, and as to your reward hereafter, they are definite conditions. Then this if comes in. If thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes, my commandments. Well, we have the commandments of the Lord for our guide and for our instruction and our continuing on and getting blessing in this life and a reward hereafter depends on whether or no we're obedient to the commandments of the Lord and do that which is and walk in my ways. Oh yes, do we want to walk in the ways of the Lord? Oh, look at the pathway of Jesus. Through this dark, troubled scene, friends, there's the way the Lord has marked out for your feet. Well, let's get better acquainted with his life and his walk. And let us be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. And I can assure you, dear young friends, if you follow the word of God, you'll prove that what he has promised, he is able also to perform. Oh yes, we often get disappointments in connection with things our brethren may promise us, or the world may promise us. There's plenty of disappointments in that. But I can assure you that there's no disappointment connection of what the Lord has promised. Oh, what an opportunity, what a future was stretched out before this young man. Well, now let's see how he responded to it. Look at the 12th chapter now. Well, I'll just relate without reading it, that it happened just as God had told. Jeroboam, who is prophet Ahijah, that God rent the kingdom out of Solomon's hand. Or it was at the time when Rehoboam, his son, was. And 10 tribes went off with Jeroboam. Well, let's not forget that when God speaks, his word is true. Here this prophet told this young man, seemingly an impossible promise for him, just one of the thousands of Israel to become king, but it all happens in its time, just exactly. God by his prophet, his word had told him. And now he was in that position of special honor and privilege. But let's read on in this 12th chapter in the 25th verse. It says, And Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt there and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Wherefore the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now there is a very striking and a very solemn effect of allowing these minds of ours to reason on divine things. We have a verse like this in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter, I think it's chapter 10. The casting down of imaginations, read that verse as it is in the New Translation, casting down of reasoning that every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down of reasoning. Oh, these reasoning minds of ours. How we like to reason ourselves out of this situation and that situation. Instead of just quietly looking to the Lord. And when we have a scripture or a scriptural principle to guide us, just simply submit to what the Word of God teaches us and to leave the consequences in the hands of the Lord. Instead of that, Jeroboam said, "Why, if the children of Israel go up to Jerusalem to worship there, it won't be too long before they'll all go back to Rehoboam and then they'll kill me." Now, what had the Lord told Jeroboam in the chapter we were just reading? Did he tell Jeroboam that such a thing could happen to him if he was obedient? Instead of that, it tells us, "And I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David. And I will give Israel unto thee." Now that was what the Lord told him. But when he let his mind get to reasoning on this subject, his reason turned him directly away so that he feared to lose his life. Well, we can't sit in judgment on Jeroboam and not remember that we have minds no better than his. And dear young friends, remember this, that if you allow your mind to guide you in your affairs of life, it will lead you just as far astray as Jeroboam was led astray by his mind. Oh, let's consider this, that we must settle every question by "Thus saith the Lord." And it may seem rash and imprudent sometimes to submit to his word. But remember that if we trust him, God will take care of us. He will carry us through the most difficult, the most dangerous situations that we could ever find ourselves confronted with. Well, let's read a little farther on. It says, he set up these two golden calves, and it says in the 31st verse, "And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he and Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised out of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burned incense." Well, there's just the fruit, there's just the logical outcome of one following his own reasoning instead of trusting in the Lord. And we find all over today, man has his religion. Well, man wants some certain amount of religion because it's far easier to have some kind of a belief than no belief at all. Even an infidel has some kind of a belief. Everybody has a belief. that governs his life. Well, if it isn't a belief or a faith that comes directly from the Word of God, then man's mind begins to invent his own religion. So we find everywhere religions that man has devised out of his own heart. I've talked to Jews who hated Christ. Oh, they said to me, I think if we try to live an upright life and do the best we can, that everything's going to turn out all right in the end. Well, the Jew is much different than perhaps the majority in Christendom today. All they're saying, if you live according to the golden rule, and if you're honest, and if you're upright in your ways, and so on, good to your neighbors, that you stand just as good a chance in heaven as anybody else. Well, the world is just filled with religions like that. That leaves out the value of the blood of Christ put away those terrible sins that must shut those who are in their sins out of heaven. It leaves all that out. So we just have endless religion, just like Jeroboam invented a religion of his own so that he could save his life and keep as he thought, the people of Israel under his power. Well, we can't emphasize too strongly those words. It says, which he devised out of his own heart. Oh, yes, he set up all this religious system. And I suppose it was very attractive. And these calves, he might say, well, they represent just what the lamb and the calf, which was offered as a sacrifice to Jehovah, what they represent. I wonder if the one back there wouldn't take that little one out. It disturbs the meeting. So we find that that he followed what he devised out of his own heart. And we find that he had very solemn warnings. You know, when the next chapter, when the young prophet went to him and he reached out his hand to do harm to that prophet of the Lord, that hand was withered. And then the Lord restored his hand to him again. And still it tells us after all that, that he turned not from the course he had taken. Look at the 33rd verse of the 12th chapter, or the 13th chapter. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people a priest of the high places, whosoever he would, so on. He turned not away. He started on a course, and warning after warning was given him. He lost his son, who was the favorite of all Israel. God smote down that young man. Still, he continued on his sad and solemn course. Oh, young friends, all present, let's be warned of the danger of starting out on a wrong course in disobedience to the Word of God. No one ever knows where that course may lead you to. May God solemnly warn every one of us of that danger. Well, we find that Jeroboam's name is connected on down through Scripture with this word. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which led Israel to sin. What a solemn record is connected with his name. Well, now I told you I was going to talk to you about another young man. Oh, this is so much happier. It's so much according to the desire of my heart to occupy you with better things. In the book of Numbers and the 13th chapter, I have to just give a little picture of the scene that's to be before us. They were 12 men that were chosen out of the 12 tribes to go up and spy out the promised land to which the children of Israel were journeying. Now, two of those men were Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And when they came back and they carried a bunch of grapes, that required two men to carry. They put a stick between this bunch of grapes, and these two men carried it on their shoulders. I thought perhaps those two men were Caleb and Joshua, who carried the grapes of Eshcol to show the people what grand fruit there was in the land of promise. Well, they gave their report, and then these other spies, they tell the people in this 13th chapter and the 29th verse, it says the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to possess it." Well, in telling about the enemies they saw in the land, and these Amalekites and these Amorites, the people were thrown into fear and dread as to whether they would succeed in subduing these enemies. So Joshua stilled the people. And isn't that a lovely word that Caleb had for the people? "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." In the midst of all the unbelief of the people, why, they sought to still them with the assurance that if the Lord had given them that land, that he was abundantly able to bring them into the land. Well, that night they wept all night. And then in the morning, the people were assembled together, and they were asking why Moses had brought them up out of the land of Egypt to perish by those enemies. And again, Joshua and Caleb appear. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, Neither fury the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bad stone. Well, we find that Caleb and Joshua encouraged the people to go up. Wasn't that a lovely word that they had to say? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land. Well, that was a beautiful, lovely, encouraging word. But what did the people say in response? Why, they bade the people that they should be stoned. Well, sometimes, you know, if we're faithful to the Lord, we may even bring the displeasure of our brethren upon us. Well, if we went on with a subject which we haven't time to go too far into, God told Moses to tell the people to turn back into the wilderness, and that those rebellious people who had refused to believe that he was able to bring them in to the promised land, that they were all to die there in the wilderness. Oh, what a solemn judgment fell upon that unbelieving nation. Just think, all that nation, 600,000 died because of their unbelief. But there were two men that God said would be brought into the land of Canaan. And that was Joshua and Caleb. But in order to go in and possess the land, they had to share the sorrows of the unbelief of the nation of Israel. They had to go on with their 40 years of wandering there in the wilderness. But just notice a verse now in the in the 14th chapter and 24th verse. Notice just what the Lord says about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And the reason why Caleb is given such a promise as this, because he wholly followed the Lord. Now some of you, dear young people, may say, oh, that word belongs to you preachers or servants of the Lord. You're the ones that they claim to such a promise. Or you belong to a special class. Well, far be the thought. There isn't one here that isn't just as much privileged to wholly follow the Lord as Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And the way Caleb followed the Lord is the same way that you can wholly follow the Lord. And we can ask the question, how did Caleb wholly follow the Lord? There he went on with all the murmurings of the children of Israel when they despised the manna that God gave them, and time after time asked why they hadn't been left in Egypt. They were better off in Egypt. He had to hear all those murmurings and go steadily, consistently on. What was it that sustained him all along his journey? Because he believed the word of God. God told his people he was going to bring them into that land, and Caleb simply believed it. And dear young friends, the reason why I say here this afternoon that you have just the same privilege as Caleb is because you have the Word of God yourself. And if you're submitting to God's Word, if you take that as your guide, and when the Lord makes his mind known through his Word to you, if you submit to it, you can be truly as devoted a follower of Christ as it was said of Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Well, now let's see the outcome of the whole subject. We'll turn now to the book of Joshua. The 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. I'll just say that when we get to this 14th of Joshua, the Lord has fulfilled his promise and defeated all those seven nations in Canaan and given the land to the children of Israel. And now the land is subdued. We find Caleb appearing again in the 6th verse. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I then when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now if you will turn over to the 15th chapter, here's what Joshua gives. As the land is divided among the people, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Well, the 15th verse. And he went up from thence to the inhabitants of Debar, and the name of the city was Kirjath-Jearim. Well, we'll have to complete our talk with just calling attention to this, that the very people that frightened the whole congregation of Israel in such a way that they wouldn't go up and possess the land, those sons of Anak, those terrible giants, of which they said, why, we just look like grasshoppers and the side of them, and we look like grasshoppers to those Anakim. Well, after 45 years, that very mountain of those giants, Caleb went up and took possession of it, proving that the Lord keeps his word, and that he will not let us down, he will not disappoint us. If we go on in faith and faithfulness, there is surely a true and right reward at the end of the journey. Now, as we know, dear young friends, that our blessings are not earthly. God is not going to offer any here to be king over a nation in this world. This world is ruined. This world is under the judgment of God. And we're just waiting for God's Son from heaven. Our blessings are up there where Christ has taken his seat. And if we wholly follow the Lord like Caleb, we'll surely find when we reach the shores of eternal glory. How perfect, how marvelous was His Word. For God's Word, friends, never fails. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. Now may the Lord give us the exercise heart to take the warning of Jeroboam and take the lesson that we have in Caleb.